I'm very happy to have on the phone with me a man who I am just so excited to talk with. Michael Burbank is in charge of Menla. And now I kind of found out about Menla through Tibet House. Now, being here in Hawaii, I've never had a chance to go to Tibet House in New York. However, I have called there and talked to them, and it's got an amazing story, and it's kind of legendary in New York, actually. Tibet House is very famous, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, we've made a small dent in a very important cause, and we turn 35, I believe, next year.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? Wow.
I know.
And think of
all Menla turns 20.
And all the wonderful people that have had a chance to talk there and sit there and go through there. I really, at one point, thought we were going to try to get there and rent it out because there was a film with this Holiness, the Dalai Lama, that I was working with someone on, and it just didn't quite work out, of course, because COVID and everything else changed a lot of plans. But I'm so glad I got on the mailing list, and it was through that I found out about this other side that I had never heard of before, which is Menla, which is set in the secluded valley beside an enchanting stream in the heart of the Catskill Mountains. Doesn't that sound wonderful? How did Menla get started, Michael?
Sure. So Menla, which is a 330-acre mountain valley in just about the center of the Catskills, was a gift for $1 to Tibet House in 2001.
Wow.
And that was a rather expensive gift because it's a massive property with 21 buildings, and it's a lot to maintain, let alone improve. We will be turning 20, as I said, next year. The idea behind it was that Robert Thurman, our president and co-founder of Tibet House, had been told and made to study Tibetan medicine in his youth by his root lama. And he just wanted to study philosophy and meditate, but he was instructed to study Tibetan medicine and that he would need it later in life. And it became became known among Bob's friends that he was looking for a center to be able to start to offer programs around the Tibetan arts of art and science of healing. And a mutual friend of a very wealthy woman who had purchased this property before introduced us, because her enterprise ended up not happening. She was inspired to start a healing center here by a visionary healer person at the end of the 20th century. And they, for various reasons, weren't able to move forward. And when she heard that Bob Thurman was looking for a place to help introduce Tibetan medicine and the Tibetan healing arts and sciences to the West, she sort of knew right away she wanted to gift the place to Tibet House. And then it took about a year for us to be evaluated and for the deed to be signed over to us. So that's how we acquired it. And Tibet House in the U.S. in New York City by Union Square is a nonprofit that the Dalai Lama asked Bob Thurman and Philip Glass, our vice president, and Richard Gere and a few others to start in the 1980s as a means of preserving and promoting Tibetan culture in exile, because of course Tibetans have been undergoing a very concerted ethnogenocide for almost 80 years now, and they have a lot of trouble communicating what happened in Tibet because of Chinese propaganda and Chinese pressures on other countries and organizations not to acknowledge Tibet. So our Menla's piece in this is really to focus on the healing arts and sciences, and Tibetan medicine is a 1,000-plus-year-old tradition that is a blend of ancient Greek healing, Chinese herbalism, Ayurveda, and indigenous medical lore from long time back in Tibet and the Himalayas. So it's an ancient and very vast system that is essentially unknown in the West and certainly in the United States. And we have an opportunity akin to folks introducing the West to Ayurveda maybe 100 years ago, in that, you know, we're really just looking to open the door for people and communicate that there is this rich, incredible, holistic tradition that they can explore. And Tibetan doctors are famous for the accuracy of their diagnoses, and they have especially good results with mystery illnesses and things that Western doctors tend to be stumped by. So it's really an exciting time in my mind in the West, as you know, we start to really try to integrate functional medicine, holistic medicine, into our own system and work in complementary ways. So we're here as sort of a bridge in that respect.
Well, when you think of what's happened since Tibet House began, and then when you think of what's happened in just the 20 years since Menla began, this explosion of people's interest in meditation, in these
sure.
arts has just, I mean, I don't think anyone could have predicted how it would have grown and continues to grow. So it must have been a very interesting evolution. When you build anything, you're kind of, you can set a structure and then something else takes over, you know, the people, mm-hmm. the ideas. And it must have been amazing to see the transformation of this beautiful, beautiful land into what is now a very needed resource. How have you seen the change? I don't know how long have you been there?
Well, I've actually been here since the very beginning.
Wow.
I was a student of Bob's in college as an undergraduate, and was obsessed with Buddhism and took all of Bob's classes and had a million questions. And actually, the year that I graduated, he was offered Menla, and he invited me to come up and
wow.
help him clean it up and paint and get it going. So I've been here almost, it'd be 20 years in March.
So when you began, what did you imagine, and how was that different from what happened?
Well, I was quite young. I was 24 and very idealistic and optimistic, and felt a strong spirit, a pioneering spirit of really setting about to start something meaningful for people to come and learn more about themselves, learn about the nature of reality, learn how to be happy and healthy. And so I, in the initial days, there was so much work to do just to get the place kind of ready. I didn't think sort of long term, but I knew that we were embarking on something that was badly needed in our sick culture, which I consider American culture to be very sick, and in need of human-centered solutions. And so we've changed a lot. I mean, we now offer many of our own programs. The one building that we built from scratch is our spa, which is not a place where you go to get your nails done, but it's more a healing spa for really deep, kind of transformative body work. And we've been partnering with people over the years, and certainly many great teachers. And now, because of COVID, we had the blessing of being forced into the digital age, and we're finding that we're working with teachers that we may not have had the resources to work with before because of the expense of flying people and people's schedules and everything, and we're reaching more people.
Mm-hmm.
So we continue to look toward the future and ways in which we can grow, but the real heart of it is the experiences that people have when they come here for a retreat or a personal getaway. And they derive so much just from the land itself and the energy of the valley, the clean water. We have some of the cleanest water in the world.
Wow.
And organic food that we grow ourselves, clean air, and sort of this feeling of being immersed in the forest while having the creature comforts that we're all sort of used to.
Of course, so, everyone loves to get out and walk and do yoga, and you have a lot of hiking trails that look fascinating. I know if I was there, and I have to get there sometime, You know, I'd be hiking every day. Do you allow people just to hike on their own, or are they led through hikes? They can. That's wonderful.
Yeah, we advise people not to go on their own in case they get injured. It is you know, kind of rocky throughout the Catskills.
Yeah.
But if I could legislate, you know, a requirement for people to have to be in the woods, I would. But, of course, I can't because it really, the experience speaks for itself. And it complements the sort of inner teachings that most groups and certainly are that we seek to transmit in our own retreats that are more intellectual and helping to clear away misunderstandings and give people sort of inner tools for dealing with problems. But just getting out in the woods and being quiet and listening and appreciating the wind and the trees and the various animals that all coexist peacefully here is just totally powerful and transformative.
And, you know, it's so interesting when we see also how yoga, in the 20 years since you've been there, how unbelievably popular yoga has become. So I'm sure you moved with that. You moved with that in time. I imagine you have a lot of teachers. Do some of the yoga teachers live there because you have so many yoga classes?
We do have yoga teachers on staff from time to time. You know, most of the retreats that come through here nowadays are yoga studios in terms of the retreats that rent space from us rather than our own sponsorships. And, you know, it's every brand of yoga you could possibly imagine. You know, the yoga is actually, and Robert Thurman has been at the forefront of trying to articulate this, that yoga and Buddhism go hand in hand. They're not two separate traditions. And especially in the Indo-Tibetan Buddhist tradition, which is very well preserved thanks to the obsessive efforts of Tibetans over the centuries, there's a whole system of many different kinds of yogas, and meditation and inner yoga is part of that. So yoga has been sort of transmitted in the West as something separate from Buddhism, and we're trying to correct that understanding. And you can see the Buddha's influence in Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, for example. So we have started a series of teacher trainings and general trainings that we call Vajra Yoga, which attempts to bridge the divide in people's awareness of how closely intertwined the various yogic traditions are with the Buddha's teachings and influence throughout Asia and the world.
Well, thank you for that, because, you know, I've done yoga, you know, for many, many, many years, and I've seen since I started it, I mean, all these people kind of do, well, just like any kind of meditation, you see many forms of meditation now as well. But a lot of people have gotten, and I see these people that just want to do this rather aerobic forms of yoga. And I'm going, well, that doesn't feel very meditative or very, you know, and it's like, I like the yoga where I can really get connected inside and do a meditative yoga. And it's good to know that you're doing that, because I sometimes get frustrated when I see so many yoga classes that people just do to get in shape, you know. But there is a lot to it. And you know, speaking of this, I mean, and I'm glad you brought it up, people can actually rent out. Do they rent out the room, or do they rent out a certain space, or if they have a group they want to bring? How does that work?
Well, we have five or six different meeting spaces of various sizes, and we have about 60 guest rooms.
Wow.
With approximately 100 beds. Spread across those 60 rooms. So we will rent out space to like-minded organizations who want to do some kind of spiritual or wellness retreat. And we feed them with, you know, our own organically grown, mostly vegan food that our chef lovingly prepares. And they're very delicious meals. And we take care of their housekeeping, and we have front desk service. And we really kind of hold a space for them to really feel comfortable and safe and not judged, and our staff is very caring. So they would just call us up or actually go on our website and click on the link to apply to bring their group here, and we try to fit them all in.
Well, I should mention it a few times because it's quite a wonderful website, by the way. Menla is menla.org. What does Menla mean?
Menla is the Tibetan name of the medicine Buddha.
Ah.
So it's the aspect of Buddha that is healing. And we chose the name Menla in part because we're a Tibet-focused organization, but also because the original Sanskrit name is Baishaja Guru, which is just a bit too much of a mouthful for people. So the two-syllable Menla we thought was perfect.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I was looking at some of the retreats you've got coming up in October. There's Friends of Fungi, which I was like, okay, that's interesting. And there's some that get rather interesting in psychedelic integration. There's Braving the Wilderness, Discover Your Soul's Power. The Four Winds. Now, this scene, I happen to really, really appreciate Robert Thurman, Bob Thurman. And I know he sometimes comes and does workshops there, too, doesn't he?
Oh, yes. Bob teaches here pretty regularly, and but mostly online right now. We've been sort of slow to reintegrate into in-person retreats, although we're starting to do that with the Vajra Yoga, and also next weekend Krishna Das will be doing his first in-person appearance since the pandemic with Bob. And Bob teaches sort of tirelessly and is so generous with his time and his wisdom with so many different people, not just us. So we just love to team him up with different teachers. Mm. You mentioned the Four Winds. That's Alberto Villaldo's organization. They do trainings in shamanism. And, we team them up for highly engaging, really thought-provoking and hilarious conversations, both online and in person.
Well, I hope most people probably know and have heard of Bob Thurman, but he is really one of the great treasures in the teachings, and so he's done so much to actually bring about change and understanding in understanding not just Tibetan Buddhism, but the inner self. And as you said, he has such a beautiful way of expressing himself that's very easy to understand, and at times humorous. And he knows so many everyone. I mean, in the spiritual community, knows him. So so what an amazing resource. To have on that, you know, I mean, that's amazing to have that to call upon with this connection. So when at this time, because you mentioned COVID, are people able to come out and just stay if they're not part of a retreat, or can they even come there now, or how does it work?
Great question. And we never really closed. But for the first couple of months, people were sort of terrified to go anywhere. But we ended up being a sanctuary for individuals and couples, little family units, even small groups of coworkers, to escape from typically New York City, which is only a two-hour drive from here. And they came up and just booked rooms. We opened up our space sort of like hotel style for personal retreat. Group retreats ended overnight. We lost our business overnight, and we found that there was a huge need, and people were coming, you know, fleeing the various breakouts, and there were protests and riots, and really we're trying to serve a fairly traumatized public in just opening our doors and having a meaningful place for them to get away in a sort of wellness-oriented vacation. So we call those create your own getaways, and we've been wanting to do those more for many years, but have been sort of too booked by group retreats. So COVID allowed us to open that part of our business and grow it, and so now we're finding a nice balance between people coming for their personal create your own getaways and people coming for group retreats, and then of course day visitors to our healing spa.
So that's wonderful, too. So you could just go for the day if you wanted to go in for the day to the healing spa, or you can book as few as a night or two, or as long as how long. If you want to stay for a week or 2 weeks, you can you book that?
Yes. We even had people staying here for months.
Wow.
They would rent some of our private cabins with kitchens, and we had people here through the winter. We had people here through the spring. Not a ton of people were able to or interested in renting long-term, but we have done that. And we do have a minimum two-night stay, typically. Mm-hmm. But we feel it takes 2 days just to unwind from your normal reality.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage people, if they have the means and the time, to try to come for at least 3 or 4 nights, and then you really get a much, much deeper experience.
I remember a long time ago I went to Green Gulch and stayed there and did some meditation. Of course, that was a different kind of program, but of course they had that beautiful, you probably heard of Green Gulch above San Francisco, and they had their beautiful, beautiful organic grown, and of course you eat from their place as well. But that was different. It didn't have all the space, you know, that you would get.
Right.
So when you go to rent a place, give me the cost that it would be involved for a normal person to rent, a week, a couple days versus a week, what the prices would be.
Well, it's very hard to say that without having more detail.
Okay.
There are sort of different kinds of accommodations. Our nightly rates for individuals range from just under $200 a night up to the 400s for a deluxe king suite with a private bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And but people can also rent those houses, and then we typically have a minimum number of people to be able to book a house. It also depends on the time of year. Most people want to be here during the summer and the fall and on the weekends. So those are our peak times. But we'll work with people to make it possible for them if they're able to book midweek or in the sort of the quieter months.
Uh-huh.
So it really can vary quite a bit. And we also, people come and camp, or we have dorm housing as well for folks who are really on a tight budget. We also work with people, individuals, to do partial scholarships. So people don't understand how expensive a place like this is to actually run. And the electric bills alone are enough to make you cry at the end
of
the day.
Well, it's not only run, it's maintaining when you're having something like that large to try to maintain and take care of things. I can't imagine. I really can. So if a person were to come and stay for a week and they wanted to, I imagine typically someone would like to at least once go to the spa. Do you have daily set up meditation classes at any place, or is that kind of done by people on their own, or how does is that included with it?
Yeah, great question. We have tried doing weekly meditation and yoga classes and have found that it's a bit difficult for us to pull off because we've been so retreat focused over the years. We are going to be trying that again in light of the fact that more people are coming for their own personal getaways now.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, if they want, we do offer all kinds of different classes that people can sign up for, either one-on-one or small group classes while they're here through our spa. But then in the local area itself, Woodstock and the surrounding area has so many different yoga teachers and meditation teachers. So even if we don't have a daily class happening, there are classes within, 10, 15-minute drive from here.
Oh, really? That close? Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
This
area has been a beacon for artists and spiritual seekers for a very, very long time. And we're blessed in that respect to have some of the best massage practitioners I've ever encountered working here. And that's just a benefit of being in the area where we are. And the Catskills itself is going through a big renaissance now with all the problems that happened in the city in the last year and a half.
Yeah.
People have sort of rediscovered the magic of the Catskills. And so suddenly overnight we have, our region is just crawling with people, especially on the weekends. And they're often coming for very similar reasons. You're usually coming to get in touch with nature and find good food, and there are various festivals and fairs, music events in the area. It's really kind of a happening place.
Yeah, it seems pretty amazing. Like I say, you never could have imagined 20 years ago how it has blossomed. And I have to say, I think what you quoted on prices was very fair compared to what you'd pay in a hotel in that area.
It includes meals.
That's great. That's very good.
Right.
I'm tempted to hop on a plane right now. So tell me when the season changes here. Of course, I'm in Hawaii. There's just like, season changes means the ginger's blossoming or a little bit. But of course, you start to get different temperatures. So what is it like Is it, would you recommend for someone like, say, okay, I've always wanted to write this book and I've got to go to a place where I want some peace and quiet and got to do it. Would you say wintertime might be an ideal time for someone who wants to rent a cabin and get away and not be bothered by the world?
Absolutely. Winter here is so quiet and so still, and it's just amazing. It's amazing that not a lot of people want to experience it then. I think people just have this idea of winter just being sort of long and cold and dreary. But it's like a winter wonderland up here with a fresh coat of snow, with snow clinging to all the branches of all the trees, and it's just really something. So for peace and quiet, we specialize in that in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
My own personal favorite time of year is just right now and for the next month.
Mm.
As the leaves start to change, it's truly a visual symphony. There are fewer bugs than there are in the springtime.
Mm-hmm.
The air is usually kind of warmish in the day and cool at night. And the hiking is just hard to resist at this time of year.
I would imagine so. And at this point, how far usually in advance do people need to make reservations to get up there and to rent space? Is it gets pretty crowded at this time of year?
It is. We are pretty full on the weekends. But we typically, we haven't fully bounced back from COVID yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on our way. But we pretty much have availability most of the time. And, people typically don't plan very far ahead, we've discovered, more and more.
Mm-hmm.
So people can feel free to call us last minute. Obviously, you've got more choice if you book in advance. And we're happy to work with people to design a retreat experience if they want content while they're here and not just a room and a nice set of meals. So...
Do you have certain boundaries, or I don't say boundaries, that's not the right word. Do you have certain precepts as far as trying to maintain the peace that people should follow when they're on these grounds? Because knowing that some people are on retreat, some people are doing things, do you have a way of kind of respecting other people's boundaries and space, I'll say, around them while they're there?
Yeah, I'd start out by saying that most people self-regulate pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, the people who come here are coming here for some type of inner growth experience, so they're already a little bit more attuned to these kind of things. That said, sometimes we do have to talk to people. We do have mm-hmm. quiet hours from 10 p.m. until 8 in the morning.
Good.
And we don't allow hard alcohol. We don't serve alcohol. People can bring their own and drink discreetly in their rooms or with dinner. But I think most people who come here really understand that it's a nature resort and wellness
mm-hmm.
facility. So we don't tend to have a lot of partiers and loud people.
Thank God. I remember when I went to Green Gulch on the first night, I went to the dining room to eat, and I was trying to talk to people, and I'm going, well, no one's answering me. And then I finally found out, it's a silent meal. You do not talk when
uh-huh.
you're eating. It was like, I was so embarrassed. It's like I was trying to chat away. But, it's good to kind of be aware of that as well. I have to say, I think there's such a need. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, but have you had a chance to see or hear about Nine Perfect Strangers and Tranquillium?
I have not.
Oh, you have to watch that. It's the one that's Nicole Kidman produced and did. But it's about a
cool
retreat space. But it gets a little far out there. It's about people have all these problems come to go to this very, very high-end retreat place. But,
uh-huh.
but then it's interesting kind of how she – I don't want to be a spoiler on that one, but she kind of has a way of – facilitating their growth that they weren't quite aware of when she started. But it's a beautiful space. I don't know where it was shot, but it's this huge retreat area that she runs, so with spas and everything.
I'll check it out.
It's called Nine Perfect Strangers, so you might laugh a lot because you might relate to some parts of it or not. But before we finish, let's talk a little bit about your online presence, because that's a lot easier for me right now. How do you participate in some of these wonderful classes you're having or retreats online?
Sure. So people can go to our website, menla.org, and click on the Menla online section at the top. And that takes us to a page that has upcoming online programs, ongoing online programs, and our evergreen material from retreats that we have done in the last year and a half. And they can, there are different, you know, pay scales. It's, you know, really, especially with the online access, we, you know, it doesn't, there's not all this tremendous overhead that there is in the, you know, the sort of brick and mortar facility. So we can really help people out if they have financial need. We can even make it available for free or by donation. And we found that the people who have means are donating extra, and you know, to help us continue to produce this material. But there's such a great range of teachings, and we've started programming fewer online events because we found that in the summer there was a pretty marked drop off as people started rediscovering the outdoors, and things sort of opened up before the Delta variant was, you know, sort of prominently in the headlines. And so we're going to start ramping up our online programs more in the winter and the spring. We're focusing on larger conferences with, you know, a variety of really compelling teachers tackling difficult subjects like death and dying. We have an environmental conference we're putting together for next year that focuses on the third pole, which is Tibet and surrounding regions, and has more, you know, ice and glacier mass than almost the poles themselves, and it's melting at six times the rate.
Wow.
And it's completely underreported, and you know, most people are not aware of the importance of the third pole. So that's going to be a bigger conference that focuses on social dimension, economic dimension, cultural, and environmental. We'll be doing a Divine Feminine conference in the spring. So we're looking to, and you know, our main offerings tend to be Buddhist, Tibetan Buddhist, yoga, but we really are trying to broaden what we cover. Because, you know, the Tibetan culture and Tibetan teachings and Buddhist teachings can relate to any other field. And it can be sort of a bridge. But we really, the problems that we face today are so great and so pressing that we need people to come from all different perspectives and really share wisdom and ask difficult questions and work together to learn more about other people's ways of doing things.
I mean, it's such a kind of a dream come true to be able to have a resource such as this available. And I was amazed when I got this, about a month and a half ago, from email from Tibet House talking about it. And I had not heard of it before. Of course, I'm out here in Maui, but I mean, it's like, wow, I had no idea that this amazing place exists where you can go and retreat, and you can also just stay, and you can do walks and all this great food and healthy places. And I thought how valuable this resource is right now for people.
I agree.
I mean, it's just a wonderful way to, we talk about reset and reboot. I think almost all of society after the last 18, 19 months has to reset and reboot. I mean, it's like everyone's gone through some kind of traumatic experience through this last year. So I mean, this is, I think, a very valuable place for everyone. I'd love to get there, and I'm so very happy to find out about it and what you're doing. I think it's just invaluable and a great resource for people. And I do have to say, your prices compared to a lot of other places are very reasonable as well.
Thank you. We're not a luxury resort, and we're not pretending to be. You know, it's not about marble and fancy this and fancy that. It's really about substance, and you know, obviously we want people to be comfortable while we're here, but we're shooting for authenticity and substance and depth and a sort of genuineness of experience rather than trying to wow people with gorgeous facilities and that everything's manicured. This is a bit on the wild side. We only have 4 or 5 people on our facilities crew who have, you know, many buildings and many acres of lawn and landscaping to deal with. And, you know, we're just a humble nonprofit. And we don't have a lot of extra. Admittedly, our marketing is not our strong suit, so we rely on word of mouth and people discovering us through their own teachers or through Tibet House. And over 20 years, the word really has gotten out, but, you know, we're not as well-known as we would like to be. We certainly could stand to be more busy in certain times of year, and we're just so happy. Every time somebody comes here and discovers us, and they show up stressed out from life and travel, and 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days later, they don't want to leave. They've had a really transformative experience. They can't wait to tell their friends, and it just makes us feel that we really are doing valuable work for a culture that's desperately in need of meaningful change and solutions.
So well said. With all the ones that you're booking now, can people, I mean, some of these retreats that are online, are they not happening there? Are they held somewhere else but just being facilitated through your site? Or I'm not quite sure when you have all these people listed, are they actually from there streaming, or are they at other places streaming through your facility?
It's a little complicated to explain that. Many of the teachers that we're working with, you know, are broadcasting from their own home, wherever in the world they live. And Bob Thurman lives only 25 minutes from here, and he'll either broadcast from his home studio, which is basically a corner of his office, or he comes out here and shoots from here. And then basically from now on, any in-person retreats that we ourselves sponsor, we're also going to be offering hybrid options, and we're really doing everything we can with a very limited budget to make those more visually appealing than just Zoom sort of sessions on laptops, which was sort of the predominant mode through the thick of the shutdowns and pandemic. So, for example, when Krishna Das is here this weekend with Bob, we're going to be broadcasting that live online for anyone who either can't make it or is too afraid or, you know, just wants to feel like they're in the room. And our goal is to make them feel that way.
They just go to menla.org to find out how to sign into that or book it or, you know, be able
to... It's menla.org is our master site, and then there's the Menla Online section, which technically takes you to thusmenla.org. That stands for Tibet House US Menla.org. And that's where the catalog of various courses can be found. And
wonderful.
You've mentioned the psychedelics, and I just wanted to say that we're not a place where people can come and do like an ayahuasca retreat, which is very, very popular, especially in Central and South America. What we've been doing is focusing on therapists who are at the forefront of the psychedelic-assisted therapy movement, which is picking up from where they left off back in the 60s when the government shut it all down, and have been making tremendous strides in dealing with depression, anxiety, trauma, PTSD, end-of-life, you know, malaise. And so we're partnering with people who are training therapists in how to administer these therapies. One day, when it's legal, we would like to be a place where people can have psychedelic-assisted therapy, but it's right now it's not the kind of place where you can just come to have that experience. So just in
case,
I didn't want to.
No, I'm glad you clarified that. And again, I'll refer you, and you'll laugh when you see 9 perfect strangers, because that's part of what they do there. It's funny.
Okay. There'll be less stranger after that experience,
right.
I'm sure.
And the last thing is, do you do podcasts? Because obviously, you know, there's a streaming and it's easy to do a podcast, but have you changed any of these into listening experiences on podcast?
Sure. So BobThurman.com, Bob has his podcast that he's been doing for a few years now. And that's the portal to access our podcast. And it's basically Bob and people that he is really interested in and interviews or has dialogues with.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, it's been a treat. I'm so excited about your place, and I know I'll get there. I'm not sure when, but I can't wait to discover it, and it's just beautiful to know a place here like yours exists. And I have to thank you. I know there's a lot of work involved in running something like this, especially with your small staff. So I know that it's an act of service, and it's a beautiful service to provide for the world. And I recommend people checking it out because you have so much going on there at Menla, MENLA.org. And then you can also access the online and other things that you can sign up for anywhere in the world. And again, a big, big mahalo to you. You know, people have talked on Maui about wanting a place like yours here for as long as I've been here, 30 years on Maui. And no one has been able to do it, you know. So I think you set a standard for people to understand how it can be done right.
Thank you. It's certainly not easy, but it is a labor of love, and we're very happy to share what we do with anyone who can benefit. Also, Tibet House U.S., our headquarters in the city, is doing a soft reopening just now with an exhibit of Allen Ginsberg's photographs.
Wow. Oh, my.
He was a supporter of ours, used to do our benefit concerts, and was friends with Philip Glass and Robert Thurman. And some of these photos are just really wonderful. So we have a virtual exhibit for people who can't visit, and we're doing scheduled exhibits as we start to reopen. And we're praying, as long with the whole world, that next year we can really all kind of rebound and be more or less back on track.
I agree, and I a deep bow of gratitude to you and your staff and the people there, and thank you for your generous time in explaining and helping to share what you're doing there at Menla House, and a big aloha.
Aloha. It's my pleasure, Cindy. Thank you for the opportunity. I hope you have a lovely afternoon.
Thank you very much. Aloha. Bye-bye.
Bye.